The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hello, everybody. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. He's not here, but believe you me, he's working. We'll tell you about his whereabouts coming up. Our phone number, 844-747-8868, and of course toddstarnes.com is our website. Great to have you along. As I mentioned, Tim Van Horn, broadcasting from the flagship station KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a sunny day here. I hope the weather is just as pleasant wherever you are. And coming up over the next several hours, we will inform and we will entertain you, and we will get to moving out of the box right away. And of course, Grace Baker is here with me today as well. And I'm sorry, but the passive aggressive part of me is so happy right now. I am just smiling on the inside, and I know we shouldn't be passive aggressive, that is really not the kindest of natures. But when I look at the headlines and I see what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Texas Governor Greg Abbott have done to the leftist hives on the East Coast, it just makes me chuckle and laugh and catch a bit of a respite. It is a wonderful thing what they have done. And of course, I'm talking about Ron DeSantis sending off illegals, not busing them. Oh, no, not in Florida. You get the best of treatment. Ron DeSantis has sent a couple of plane loads of illegal immigrants. No, not to Washington, D.C., not to New York City, but to Martha's Vineyard, the home of the elitist of the elite. I think even Oprah might be amongst the poor people on Martha's Vineyard. The Obamas are there. And of course, you've got Oprah. And it is the oddest of all places to put them, but if it may be the best place of all to send a message for those that feel they are so wealthy that they can be insulated from what you and I are having to see and deal with on a daily basis. And DeSantis is totally unashamed of this, and he should be totally unashamed. That's on one front. Then we take Governor Greg Abbott in Texas, and he is fighting a frontline battle. I mean, technically every state now, thanks to Biden, is a border state. But the state of Texas fighting with the federal government. State officials are trying to block the border, but federal officials come in and undo the work of the state. So Greg Abbott says, okay, well, let's see how you like it. So DeSantis sends flights to Martha's Vineyard, but then you've got Governor Greg Abbott sending a busload, not just to Washington, D.C., but out in front of Kamala Harris's vice presidential residence. And this is a 1-2 punch from governors that on its own is pretty incredible, and should serve as a template for other Republican governors Hint, hello, Bill Lee. I know you're a Republican in name only, but you're still running on that R. But this is what the Republican governors should be doing, is sending a message like, well, you're going to send them my way. Well, I'm going to put them on your doorstep, literally on your doorstep. And for those that are getting these free rides, it's got to be a culture shock to the illegals. There's no question about that. But the question really is the border really closed? Remember, Kamala Harris said the border was closed. It was a done deal. She was the border. She's the border czar. All is taken care of. All is well. You do not see what your eyes are telling you that you see. And that is what our vice president continues to tell us. Well, Greg Abbott says, well, what do you see with your own eyes, Madam Vice President? Listen to this clip. This is from Fox News interviewing an illegal immigrant out in front of Kamala's residence in Washington, D.C. It's pretty amazing because whatever Kamala's seeing, I don't know which border she's looking at, if she's making a run to the border to Taco Bell, because she's sure not looking at the American border. Listen to this illegal describe what's happening at the border with Cut 3.
Vice President Harris said that the border is closed. Is the border closed? Do you believe that the border is closed or is it open?
It's open, not closed. The border is open.
The border is open. Do you believe that all the migrants believe that the border is open?
Yeah, everybody believes that the border is open. It's open because we enter. We come in free. No problem.
And but it's open for you to come illegally, right?
Illegally, yes, illegally. That's true.
And you came illegally?
Yeah, we came illegally, not legal.
You know, the interesting thing about that guy, I just got back from Jamaica last month, and it was harder for me to get into the country than it was for this guy. I was guilty until proven innocent to come into the United States. This guy gets into the country, and he gets bussed off to the nation's capital. And I know Muriel Bowser will not be too thrilled, the Washington, D.C. mayor, but Kamala Harris, this has got to be a slap in the face, figuratively, for her, because it contradicts everything that she's been talking about. So in D.C., you've got Governor Greg Abbott sending busloads. Up in Martha's Vineyard, you've got DeSantis, nothing but the best for his illegals, shipping them to Martha's Vineyard. Now, do they get pocket money? Does the government give them some folding money to walk around or an EBT card? Because Martha's Vineyard, from what I heard, is pretty expensive. So they need to load up that prepaid debit card, that EBT card for the illegals, and put a little bit more on there. Because it's not easy to walk around the vineyard and go to those shops and get clothing and get food and maybe have a nice glass of wine and toast Joe Biden, President Biden and Vice President Harris. But that's what the Republican governors in Texas and Florida are doing. They're doing something about it. And I can't help but laugh because it strikes right at the heart of elitism, that I am so powerful, I am so wealthy, this is not a problem because it doesn't impact me. And really, that's a running thread through a lot of our country and even runs into the establishment part of the Republican Party. Now, you're listening to the Todd Starn Show. We're all Bible-clinging, gun-toting patriots here. And we understand that you have to take action. You have to be vigilant. And even if it doesn't impact you today, it could impact you tomorrow. You get it. But the elites either don't get it or they don't care. But I guarantee you they're going to start caring now. Because now if you're in another elite part of the country, now you're wondering, well, what will DeSantis and Abbott do next? What will they do for an encore? Because you know they're not going to stop. They're just going to keep on keeping on. And they're going to be a pebble in the Democrats' shoe, a thorn in their side, for as long as they possibly can be. So my hat's off to you, Governor Greg Abbott. My hat's off to you, Governor Ron DeSantis. I know I shouldn't embrace passive-aggressive behavior, but today I'm willing to make an exception. Now, coming up, we have some exclusive audio. We do have a reaction from Vice President Kamala Harris at the site of this bus in front of the vice presidential residence. You won't want to miss this because she gets very emotional about this. And normally we don't see her get emotional. Usually it's a cackle fest or it's word salad. But she minces no words. In fact, she's very clear in her emotions. And I don't want you to miss this. That's coming up. 844-747-8868. It's Tim in for Todd.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. Y'all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, our good friend, wants to give back exclusively to our listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. You better order now because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable, and they have a cool, crisp feel. And they come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so you better order right now. Call 1-800-986-3994 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-986-3994. Or you can go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. Thanks for tagging along with us. I got my KWAM golf shirt on today. We're broadcasting from the flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee. To all the fine folks around the country and around the world, you can catch us on toddstarnes.com as well. Thank you for joining us. Before the break, I mentioned we've got some exclusive audio. Of course, Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott, governors of Florida and Texas, respectively, have been sending illegals now across the country. DeSantis flying plane loads of illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard, and Governor Greg Abbott sending busloads of illegal immigrants to Washington, D.C., specifically. I guess they just typed in Kamala Harris's vice presidential residence into the GPS, and they have arrived. You heard from them last segment saying the border is wide open. Now, I would have thought Kamala Harris would be freaking out and angry and beside herself that there would be a busload of illegal immigrants at her doorstep. But nay, nay, Todd Starnes Show audience, that is actually not the case. She's not cackling. There's no word salad. She's very clear in her emotions in her response to this bus of illegal immigrants pulling up to her doorstep.
Look at my bus! Oh my God, I love it!
Look at my bus! I love it! I love it! I love it! I'm melting!
Vice President Kamala Harris getting a dose of her own medicine. 844-747-8868, where our callers come first. And Bobby is in North Carolina listening on the Talk Station. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Y'all always concerned with how things are repeated, you know, by the far left people. And, you know, our side, we just don't call things as they are. So how about this? How about we call, instead of calling it the Green New Deal, call it the Green Raw Deal? How about that? And then we give credence to the the mainstream media. Why do we call it the mainstream media? Why don't you call it the lamestream media?
Sarah Palin got it right 15 years ago, didn't she?
Yeah, they did. And you know, you're talking about the Inflation Reduction Act. Why isn't that the Inflation Seduction Act? Because it's getting taken to the American people.
It has seduced more inflation, hasn't it? The latest numbers were awful as well. It keeps getting worse and worse. Yeah, what is in a name, Bobby? It is kind of crazy. I guess it is their way to try to put a big bag of sugar on a big load of hooey.
Well, I just think we need to call it like it is, because none of it is doing what it was, quote, supposedly intended to do. So anyway, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Bobby, you got it. Anytime. Love the folks at the Talk Station in North Carolina, 844-747-8868. And, you know, he's right. When you see these coming out of Congress, the title, it typically does the exact opposite of what you're wanting as a citizen for it to accomplish. You know, North Carolina is a big transportation center. We here in Memphis are a big transportation hub. And Grace, I have to tell you, we just dodged a massive bullet because we would right now, had they not averted this strike, we would be about 13 hours away from the railroad shutting down.
Yeah, Tim, I mean, it feels like we have enough problems already, and then to add that on top of it, that's just, I was really worried about that, but I'm really glad we avoided that, because I don't know if our country can handle any more major issues like that right now.
You know, as if baby formula weren't tough enough to get coal to power plants, how does it arrive? It arrives by rail, of course. But what has happened in late last night and into early today, there's been a tentative agreement by the railroad unions that would offer up some significant back pay. And I know that the railroad workers would like some more sick leave and more flexibility in time off. That is a very specialized job, and we send out our love, because you can't just walk into a rail company and start to work. I mean, that takes specialized training. I mean, that's what you call heavy equipment right there.
Oh, for sure.
But we send our love out to everybody that makes it happen across the country. But they're looking at a 24% pay increase. Some of that will be retroactive. And what happened is they got to a tentative agreement. There's a cooling off period now to sit back and then try to hammer out the final details. But there will be no strike starting in the morning at 12:01, which is good, because we saw yesterday where Amtrak was already canceling some of their trips, especially the longer distance ones, because they lease railways from these private companies, because Amtrak doesn't own all that, so they have to do that. So they canceled some of that. But think about what at 12:01, if the railroads had just stopped the trains, they just stopped. So not only do you have a backup of goods that can't reach where they're supposed to be, but you talk about the coal. Hey, California, as if you weren't already in enough trouble with your electrical grid, but then to not be able to have the transportation of the coal to some of these coal-powered plants, you would have a problem. And then on top of that, Grace, then you have the boats off of the shore on both coasts that would be waiting for the trains, because you have a lot of intermodal hubs where you go from boat to train at the sea. We have intermodal here in Memphis because you have FedEx. You have all of these intermodal companies that are at a standstill because the boats can't unload because there's nowhere to ship it. Planes would have a problem. We're already at least 40,000 truckers short because of the jabs. That vaccine mandate has run off tens of thousands of truckers. You would need about four or five times at least more just to be able to make up for the loads that were being lost due to rail. It would be a logistical nightmare. And in the last 120 years, it's only happened twice. It happened 70 years ago with steel, and then it happened about 50 years prior to that in 1902 with coal. So we were about this close to really getting into a true calamity. And I'm glad that we're talking about the fact that we avoided it. And I had someone on my local show on KWAM this morning that likened this supply chain avoidance of a crisis to the Earth essentially getting missed by a meteor. That's the type of impact it would have had on our infrastructure, our supply chain, getting goods. And think about this too. If you go from rail to truck, even if you could get the trucks, think about how much the cost of gas is now, how much more the cost of goods would be as well. We avoided a massive calamity, but we got plenty of other problems. What's our biggest problem in America? 844-747-8868. Your privacy, it's in jeopardy. Who's been spying on you now? We'll tell you about that coming up. Plus, we've got some terrific guests between now and the end of the show, including Congresswoman Debbie Lesko. We'll talk to Young America's Foundation, Liz Peek, and so much more. Just so excited to be here with you today. 844-747-8868. And, oh, where's Todd Starnes? Come back. We'll tell you exactly where he is. He's out there working hard as always. Such a deplorable. Tim in for Todd.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. 844-747-8868. Be sure to visit toddstarnes.com for his unique insight and commentary on all the top stories. Folks, now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. And Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and use the promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget along with great discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile? It's easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. 844-747-8868. Did America avert a major crisis with the railroad strike? Steve in Central Arkansas, always great to hear from the heart of the natural state in the land of opportunity. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. My opinion about this railroad strike, I think the whole thing's just a fabricated, ginned-up show. I think Uncle Joe called in some markers with a Amtrak Joe called in markers that he held on the railroad for the billions of tax dollars.
Well, Steve, it's not just Amtrak Joe. It's Amtrak Joey! Joey! Back on the train, Joey! You know, the interesting thing, Steve, is that Joe Biden wasn't even in Washington, D.C. when all this was going down. He was in Detroit touting $61,000 electric vehicles.
When have you ever heard of a labor strike that would have that kind of effect on this country? You never heard a word about it till this week. One day you hear there's a threat of a labor strike. The next day you hear Joe's going to talk to him. The next day, it's solved. It's all over with.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting about the timing, Steve, because there had been a period where they kicked the can down the road, and we were coming up to the end of that extension period. I think another extension might kick it past Election Day. The timing of it is not bad for Joe Biden. That is admittedly so.
Almost anything you see happen in this country right now, you just have to start with the assumption, okay, who fabricated this one and who's benefit from it?
Well, Steve, we sure do appreciate your take on that and appreciate your call to the Todd Starnes Show. Steve thinks the timing of it is just a little too coincidental. And there's been other things politically that have happened in the last couple of years. You think, well, gosh, well, it sure did benefit the Democrats. Is Steve on to something? 844-747-8868. And folks, it's not just Donald Trump that they've gone after. It's not just Mike Lindell from MyPillow that they've gone after. But you, the American citizen, if you have questions, they don't want to. They don't want you to ask those questions. I'm talking about Facebook. This is an incredible story now. This is a revelation. This is from the New York Post. Facebook has been spying on the private messages and the data of American users and reporting it to the FBI if they express anti-government or anti-authority sentiments, i.e. question the 2020 election, according to sources within the Department of Justice. Under the FBI collaboration operation, again, this is according to New York Post, somebody at Facebook red flagged supposedly subversive private messages. Folks, this isn't even stuff that's going on your main Facebook page. If you were to go to Grace Baker's Facebook page, you see a great picture of Grace, and I believe with Merlo, I believe that's your current picture, and she would post things about photography and stuff, and if Grace were to even say, hey, you know, I wonder if those Georgia results were normal, for instance. I'm not saying she did that, but Facebook has no problem going through your private messages. Wait, I thought they were private in nature. Grace, you're the one that has the background in writing and all of that. What, doesn't private mean private?
Now, listen, Tim, they just use that to trick you. I mean, when you go and you sign up for these accounts on these social media websites, for one thing, you have to, you know, click yes on their terms and conditions. Let's be real. Who actually reads those? Scroll down.
Isn't that the terms and conditions are like the end of any pharmaceutical commercial?
May cause death.
Be sure to ask your doctor. Or the end of a car deal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Free financing for and then sign your life away.
Yeah.
Basically is what you're doing. So just to say that, if you don't, in my opinion, just get off the social media if you're worried about your privacy, because they can look at everything you're doing. That's what they say. Be careful what you post. But it is sad that, like, you're private messaging somebody and they're, you know, prying through and looking at people, but they're only looking at certain people's stuff. I mean, let's be real. There's a lot of violent and despicable content that goes up on the internet that nobody monitors. But if you question an election, oh, you're on their list. So now they're looking through your private messages.
And what they've done, Grace, is they have taken that information, according to this New York Post article, and it's been over the last 19 months, and Facebook sent it in redacted form. And what we've learned about redacted, that could mean like one word, or it could be almost every word. So we don't know if that protects your identity. Nonetheless, sent in redacted form to the Domestic Terrorism Operational Unit at FBI headquarters in D.C., without receiving a subpoena. They just, here guys, hey, look at this. This guy doubted the 2020 election. Go get him.
Basically.
Yeah. That's it.
This guy said that a woman is a woman. Go get him.
Go get him. You know what? They questioned the curriculum in that school. Go get him. Goodness gracious me. That is an attack on your freedom. Private should mean private, right? I mean, and not private with an asterisk next to it. If you're sending someone a message, I guess instead of assuming that it's private, I guess you, if you're not already doing it, you should assume that everybody can see what you're saying,
yep,
what you're reading, what you're typing.
I mean, look, iPhones, for example, I noticed when I was out of town in DC recently, I kept getting these notifications that I could sign up to get COVID exposure notifications. And I had to keep pressing no, because your phone's tracking you.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know that. And like when you're messaging on the iPhone, it's through their app. They have access to everything. So nothing is safe anymore.
Yes, and now every third ad that I get is for a new mattress. I just bought a mattress like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, See, that's scary. Or like you'll be talking about, I could really use some pizza right now. And next thing you know, you got pizza ads all over your Instagram.
Yeah. Do you know of any specials going on, by the way? It's lunchtime. But this is just the tip of the iceberg, though. I mean, this is a huge deal in and of itself. But now, you know, this started 19 months ago. But now we fast forward to 2022, and you have people actively in Congress, and it's open season on not just conservatives, but Republicans in general, although they're zooming in on MAGA Republicans. You got a couple of folks that are having a go and calling it essentially open season on the MAGA movement. And I guess maybe you've heard this week about Tim Ryan and what he has said about killing and shutting down the MAGA movement. But now you got crazy Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii. And she is not pleased at all about folks that are in the pro-life movement. Listen to what crazy Mazie Hirono has to say on the floors of the Senate.
The word hypocrites, it doesn't even go far enough to call them out on what they're doing. This is an outright attack on women in this country. That is how I see it. That is how more and more women and those who support our right to make decisions about our own bodies. That is how we see it. And why? Because that's what's happening. Madam President, I yield the floor, but clearly, you know, this is a literally call to arms in our country.
Notice she could make a call to arms against the pro-lifers, but she couldn't have the courage. She couldn't screw up the courage enough to say killing babies. She made sure she used a euphemism for that and just glossed right over that. But a call to arms against pro-lifers, would that make her a pro-deather? Maybe Crazy Mazie's pro-death, perhaps. But wait, just like any great radio offer, there's more. We've got the gift that keeps on giving. Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson, and he's going after the conservatives as well. Listen to what he has to say about parents who question school boards and how he compares them to another recent event. Cut 8.
January 6, 2021.
There it is.
Will never be forgotten. An infamous day in American history. MAGA Republicans descended upon the Capitol, engaged in an insurrection. They occupied the Capitol. 5 people were killed, hundreds injured, including hundreds of Capitol Hill police officers attacked and bludgeoned. It was a day that we'll never forget. And people on the local level at affected school board meetings, they won't forget the MAGA Republicans descending on their school board meetings after January 6th. Like January 6th, disrupting meetings. It was a coordinated attack happening across the country. Americans won't forget about it. School board members, teachers, administrators subjected to violence, threats of violence, harassment, intimidation.
You know, thankfully, unlike January 6th, school board police haven't shot and killed anybody that showed up that day. And I don't know, where's he getting the 5 deaths from? I know Capitol Police shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. And then you had some other folks that passed away due to some natural causes. But then again, if you're looking for really the apex of wisdom and knowledge, Hank Johnson isn't exactly it. Let's take the Todd Starnes Wayback Machine to 2013. When Hank Johnson does not want American troops going to Guam, not because of the fear of violence, not because of a fear of intimidation, but for the fear of drowning. Listen to this, why he didn't want troops to go to Guam. Cut 7.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
we don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000. And again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
Gee, I don't know. Just the reference that an island could capsize because you put another 10,000 people on it, I think that only adds more credibility to Hank Johnson's comparison of school board parents to January 6th. Don't you? He must have skipped all 12 years of science. Ay, poor Hank Johnson. You know what? No, poor people of Georgia, because they keep voting him in to office. I guess he's got a lifetime appointment there. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. Where is Todd Starnes? We've got that answer for you, and we got plenty more of your top stories coming up next. It's Tim in for Todd.
Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Todd Starnes here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, and the NAACP's sinister agenda. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone with Brandon Tatum and Vody Bachum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com, SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. It is Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. I didn't see the cue. You blink for a second and you miss everything around here. 844-747-8868. That's on me. It's a rookie mistake by me. No rookie mistake, though. Going to the phone lines anytime we've got callers from the talk station in North Carolina. We go there and we've got Jeff. Jeff, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Thank you. And thank you for taking my call. And thank you for what all of you are doing with the radio. Just trying to help the country, and we really appreciate it.
But it's a privilege to serve. Sure.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Two thoughts. I wish someone could start a GoFundMe page to help fund the distribution costs for these governors of Texas and Florida. I think they would that would be a great thing for everyone to do, help spread those, just do that distribution thing with a little bit of participation by everybody. And the second thing is, I'd like to name five cities where I think they should share these illegals with. It'd be Beverly Hills, Malibu, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. Let's spread the love.
Now, Jeff, if you heard Congressman Hank Johnson from last hour, if you put all the illegal immigrants on the West Coast, won't the country capsize?
Well, you know, we'll just have to take that risk. I would love, if I had $1 million, I'd be sending them plane loads up there and let those people have them. I mean, you know, I've been to Mexico and some of these Honduras and some of these places, and it's a terribly impoverished place. But, you know, there's a right way to do this, and I know many Latino people that have come here legally. And, you know, it's difficult for them, but, you know, it's difficult for us to handle 2 million people just overnight, you know, as they come across this border illegally and expect everything for free. And there's a lot of them that are here that work hard.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the Hispanic community, I know here in Memphis, there's a lot of the Hispanic community that are upset by this, because most Hispanics that are in this country went about it the right way. And you know what? When they become citizens, then they are equally brothers and sisters of mine and yours. And God bless them. And we should help those that are trying to go about it in the right way, for sure. Jeff, thank you so much for calling on the talk station. And, I don't know about that West Coast thing. I think we might capsize if Hank Johnson has his physics Right. Grace, where's Todd Starnes today? Speaking of the coast, Tim.
Yeah. Well, today he's not there yet, but I can say right now, this is like where's Waldo, but it's where's Todd. Right now he's campaigning for lawmakers over in Georgia. He was at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's victory dinner, which I know he had a great time at. Saw Herschel Walker, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a lot of other big figures there. And I know today he's speaking at the Pray Vote Stand conference in Atlanta, hosted by the Family Research Council and our good friend Tony Perkins.
Yeah.
And then next week he will be in California in Lancaster with our good friend Pastor Paul Chappell for the Spiritual Leadership Conference. My goodness, Tim, I can hardly keep up with him. But he will be back here in Memphis tomorrow, well, I can confirm.
I know people miss their Todd Starnes. We've got some clips from him talking with Tony Perkins. We'll have that a little bit later in the show. We got to have our Todd fix every day, not just the news and commentary. So we will definitely have that. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. And coming up, so excited, we're going to be talking with the Moms for Liberty. We've got Congresswoman Debbie Lesko and so much more. We're just getting started here, and we are so happy you're along for the ride. Go to ToddStarnes.com, ToddStarnes.com, 844-747-8868. Tim in for Todd.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, friends, family, and fellow Americans. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. He's on assignment today. What's his assignment? To help the red wave in November. He's out, but no worries. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm Tim Van Horn. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. Happy Thursday, everybody. The sun is shining here at our flagship station at KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, and I hope the weather is just as lovely wherever you might be. Again, our phone number, 844-747-8868. And on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this morning, we are joined by the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Tiffany Justice joins us now on the Todd Starnes Show. Tiffany, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think we're going to talk a little bit about Drag Queen Story Hour. There's something happening in Memphis soon. What is going on in this world with all the drag queens in libraries and schools?
It seems like the quiet part out loud is now the norm, and it just feels like culturally here in Memphis that the left is simply going for it, unashamed, full steam ahead. We don't care what you think. And you're right. What used to be a museum, it used to be called the Pink Palace, and for decades, I know I would go on a field trip almost every year at elementary and middle school, you know, they'd have science exhibits there, dinosaur bones, IMAX theater, planetarium, it's a great place, but now, coming up next Friday, they're having an Airfingers, quote, family-friendly drag show, and for only $20 a pop, you'll be treated to a drag show and an intergenerational dance party. There it is right there, intergenerational. Tiffany. My goodness, it seems like the culture rot continues to accelerate.
Yeah, and it's really concerning and interesting. For those in your audience that aren't listening to James Lindsay is a gentleman who's done a number of different podcasts, and he has started a group. It's called New Discourses. You can go and look this up, and he did a whole series called Groomer Schools. And in Groomer Schools 4, he talks about Drag Queen Story Hour. How did this start? How could this possibly be happening in educational institutions and libraries and museums? And he talks about an academic paper. There's actually an academic paper that has been written about drag pedagogy. It's called The Playful Practice of Queer Imagination in Early Childhood. And you can look that paper up. It was written by two people. One of the people is literally named Lil Miss Hot Miss. That's the drag queen name, I would imagine. And it goes into great detail about how Drag Queen Story Hour is contextualizes the program within the landscape of gender and education, as well as within the world of drag, and provides a generative extension of queer pedagogy into the world of early childhood education. Kim, who asked for this?
I didn't ask for it. I'm looking around through the glass. I don't think anybody else in our building asked for it, and I'm sure across the fruited plain, our audience didn't ask for this. Yet here we are, and it feels like, Tiffany, that this is an abuse of the levers of power. And these cultural centers who get gut, which, by the way, this Museum of Science and History is government funded. This is your taxpayer dollars, my taxpayer dollars, that are going to these shows.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So it is your taxpayer dollars. So if you don't like this and you're listening to this right now, you need to speak up, whether that's at your community library or your public school. If you don't like what's happening, you need to have your voice heard, because they are spending your money to make these programs happen. A friend of mine lives outside of Chicago, and there's a public library there that's doing a drag queen teen bingo night. And they put out a fact sheet for the drag queen bingo night. And it says, what does it mean to be a drag queen? And then they say, isn't this an inappropriate adult program for teens? And they say, oh, no, that drag queens are people, usually men, who dress in clothing of the opposite sex and often act with exaggerated femininity and in feminine gender roles for the purpose of entertainment or fashion. Tim, I know a lot of women. I am a woman. I'm raising a daughter who's a woman. I never act like a drag queen. I don't know necessarily when I look at drag queens that I really feel they epitomize femininity. Do you feel that they epitomize femininity? I mean, you're a guy, but, you know, like, what are we teaching our kids here that this is somehow, what, the way that women should behave or look or act, or that it's okay to even, you know, treat your body sometimes the way that drag queens do? I was watching a video of a drag queen that actually was in a restaurant. There was a child there. This was posted on Twitter, and the person was really treating their chest area in a very aggressive, abusive manner. No women touch themselves like that, and no man certainly should. So the question really becomes, what kind of message is this sending to our teenagers?
It certainly feels like it is a hammer and a spike, and just trying to chip away at any kind of solid foundation of family, at a solid foundation of science, and you don't know what you think you know, and just trying to blur all kinds of lines and make truth relative, Tiffany. That's what it feels like, and this goes even to a degree into the classroom with this SEL, the social emotional learning, the CRT, wit and wisdom, whatever you want to call it. It is cracking the foundations of what we know, and then just taking a marker and blurring everything.
And that's the point, to be honest with you. And so when we take a step back and we think about what should be happening in libraries in general, reading should be happening. One of the things I'm excited to talk about is reading and literacy, but I'm not excited to talk about it in America right now, because nearly 2/3 of American children are not reading on grade level. So we're looking at schools where we have kids who might not be able to read their diploma, and these schools are prioritizing arts and crafts programs. They're prioritizing Drag Queen Story Hour. They're prioritizing messing with the minds of children, basically, which is what social emotional learning is. It's doing a lot of surveying and assessment about emotions and relationships and a lot of the areas where we would normally draw the lines between school and home. And so at Moms for Liberty, we really believe that's what has been done here. The boundary lines between school and home have been blurred continuously by the educational industrial complex. And queer pedagogy and all of this stuff has just found a way in through our schools. And so when we talk, people say we're in a culture war. I think the schools and our dictionaries, to be honest with you, are the battleground for this culture war that we're fighting in. And I'll just say again to listeners, join Moms for Liberty. Go to our website, momsforliberty.org. You can find a chapter that's near you or start a chapter and bring parents together and like-minded people in your community. You don't have to be a parent. You just need to be a concerned community member to take a stand and say, this isn't what we want out of our public institutions. We want kids to learn to read and learn practical skills in school. And I'll be honest, we need every single American to stand up now and to help us fight for the future of our country.
Tiffany, I'm not a mom, but I come from one. Can I join and donate?
Absolutely. Please do. Go to momsforliberty.org. We have a big map there. You can click on the map, click on your state. You'll see the chapters that we currently have in your state. We're set up by county in across the United States. And if we don't have a chapter, click to start when you just need 10 like-minded people, again, in your community. And anyone can donate. We have a great shop on our website. We have that. We don't co-parent with the government.
I love that. I freaking love that. That is the signage is great. The t-shirts are great. Hey, Tiffany, folks can go to momsforliberty.org and get involved and to donate, but I would love for you to leave a message for our audience. What would you say to our audience? I know folks are excited and at the possibility of a big red wave in the midterms for federal and state offices. Can you speak to just how important it is to get to know and to be active and prepare to vote wisely for our school boards?
Absolutely. If you have a Moms for Liberty chapter in your county, figure out who they're endorsing for school board. That's what our chapters have been focused on doing. They've been really working to educate their community about the issues that are important that need to be addressed in the public schools, and then working to help to support candidates who are running for school board, because the effect that your school board members can have is huge. You change the face of your school board, I'm telling you, you're going to change the future of your community, and you're going to change the future of our country. So get out and vote. Support local school board candidates. We have 3 PACs that we're launching, national PACs across the country, to be able to support good school board candidates. The unions have been doing it for years. Since 2004 to 2016, the political donations have gone from $4 million to over $30 million. They know where they get their bread and butter, and that is on school boards and pushing money and programs that are progressive, far-left programs. And so we need to get strong school board members in there to start making better decisions for kids. We have got to teach these kids in America to read.
And folks, and Tiffany, we are involved with Moms for Liberty at the flagship station at KWAM, and I want to encourage all of our affiliates across the country, if you're not already working with the Moms for Liberty in your neck of the woods, to please do so. It is worth the future of our country. Tiffany Justice, momsforliberty.org, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you for the work that you're doing, and keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. There is Tiffany Justice on the Todd Starnes Show. You heard it. The red wave, it may or may not be coming in November on the big elections. But when it comes down to grassroots level, down to street level, do not overlook, do not gloss over those school board elections. They can dictate how the next generation of your neighborhood, how your city, state, and country go. 844-747-8868. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes, 844-747-8868. And, of course, anywhere, anytime at toddstarnes.com. I hear that railroad track behind me, this train's rolling along, strike averted. We'll continue to have that supply chain going well, at least as best as it can right now under the Biden administration. 844-747-8868. We'll get to your comments on Facebook in just a few moments. Many of you impacted feeling right along with the co-founder of Moms for Liberty when it comes to these drag shows, especially those that have been paid for with government funding. Let's go to the phone lines. Jeff in Georgia on WDUN. I heard Todd Starnes was down in that neck of the woods earlier this week. Well, Jeff, great to have you on.
Oh, thank you, sir. I just wanted to comment on it. It just seems like a full-fledged thing on our values in this country is come under assault. Everybody that can vote needs to really get up and go out and vote, because this may be the last chance that this country has if we let our morals go like that. I mean, things like this was never heard of years ago, but now it's all coming out in the open, and it's because of who has the positions of power. And me being a Christian, I believe Jesus is coming soon. So you're seeing an all-out war on values in the human being itself.
Now, Jeff, I don't know the hour at which Jesus is coming, but I think you and I both agree that Jesus spoke very harshly of those who abused children. And I think the ability, taking away their ability to grow mentally and make their own decisions when they are older, to steal that from them by trying to influence them sexually, I would say this would be something that Jesus, he would turn the tables over in the market over.
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%. Keep on going and doing what you're doing, and thank you very much.
Hey, Jeff, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you. 844-747-8868. Not even giving the kids a chance. And this has really been a slow cultural rot, if you think about it. With many of these shows that are deemed to be kid-friendly, we have seen the rot of where the parents are made out to be bumbling buffoons on many of these, quote, family shows. They get into some more adult topics on these air fingers, quote, family-friendly shows. And now, just because you stick family-friendly before something doesn't make it so. Just because there is a soda that is, or a Coke or whatever product has diet before it, doesn't mean I should kick back, you know, a six pack of these that they're good for me. Doesn't make it so. It is, you can label something all day long, but that doesn't make it right. It kind of goes back to legislation as well. The Inflation Reduction Act does not reduce inflation. This family-friendly drag show, not family-friendly.
Yeah, Tim, like you said on the Diet Coke, you got to read the label because it's not as good for you as you might think.
Yeah, and plus, you know, if you go to the Museum of Science and History, you know, if you go to the family-friendly drag show, it's not just the dinosaur bones you better be careful of.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I went there not that long ago. They had a laser beam show, which was actually really cool. This was before all the, you know, the drag show stuff.
Yeah.
But they had a laser beam show for Bruno Mars, which I had never been to something like that, but... It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But now I don't think I'm going back there anytime soon. I'm scared kind of shows they got going on.
Yeah, new meaning to Uranus. That is for sure. Okay, let's go to some comments on our live chat on Facebook. There are a lot of people not too thrilled with what's going on around the country when it comes to these drag shows that are going on up on taxpayer dime, let alone whether we're not on taxpayer dime, but exposing kids to these types of shows.
Yeah, like Brandon on Facebook said, the ultimate goal is to create a world in which there are no values or rules in which we live our lives. The rules can change and become fluent at any time. And Kevin also said, it is completely about indoctrination, which I think we all pretty much agree with.
Yes, well, you know, and this is coming in waves because, you know, over the last year, it has been this social emotional learning, this critical race theory, white guilt. I'm ashamed of how God created me. I'm ashamed of who I am just because of the way that I was born, that I am irredeemable. And now then you try to heap these types of values onto kids without giving them even a fighting chance to make a decision. When you're an adult, hey, you do you. All right.
This is America.
But give kids a fighting chance to establish their value system. In America, you have every right to be as great or as mediocre or choose to participate as much or as little in society as you want. But at least give the chance to the kids to reach adulthood to shape their lives in that way. In the meantime, just give them the basic values, how to balance a checkbook, basic math, science, moral values, and then let them make that choice later on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the kids down at the local Walmart can't count change, but, you know, they're teaching them about gender. It's like just teach them what they need to know to function in a normal society.
Well, and I've seen where some of the restaurants just have pictures of the menu items on there because of the reading skills.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know the reading scores are just abysmal right now in grade schools.
Oh, even in Tennessee. Everybody says Tennessee is a wonderful place. Listen, I love the people here, but we're not as conservative as Florida. Tennessee ain't no Florida.
That's true.
It's not a bad place, but it ain't Florida. That we know, especially
Florida's
after
Florida's kind of the role model right now.
Yeah, especially with what Ron DeSantis has been doing. He's been flying illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. True. Of course, you got Governor Greg Abbott in Texas busing illegal immigrants out to Kamala Harris's doorstep. It's pretty incredible. Coming up, we've got another congresswoman that is fighting the good fight, Debbie Lesko from Arizona. That's definitely a border state. She's talking about the crisis. Plus, we've got the response of Ron DeSantis to the criticism that how dare he send illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard? Doesn't he know that there's garden parties going on 24/7? Oprah doesn't like this, and you don't want to make the Oprah mad. Oh, my goodness. But guess what, Oprah, in Martha's Vineyard? You get an illegal immigrant. 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 Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes, 844-747-8860. Eight. I'll put a quarter in the jar. We'll come back. We got Debbie Lesko. You're listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. 844-747-8868. It's a beautiful day here in Memphis. We're broadcasting from the KWAM Broadcast Center, the flagship station for the Todd Starnes Show. Todd Starnes is in Georgia right now. He's on the campaign trail supporting the great Republicans down there in hopes of helping out with the big red wave come November. Well, we've been telling you about what Governor Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis have been doing. And they've been sending illegal immigrants Greg Abbott sent some to the vice president's residence in D.C. But then you had Ron DeSantis flying illegal immigrants into Martha's Vineyard, home of Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, and so on and so on. And he's been catching a lot of flack. Ron DeSantis, would you wager whether or not his feelings were hurt over this? Well, you know what? You be the judge of this. And here is Ron DeSantis' response to flying illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard.
The minute even a small fraction of what those border towns deal with every day is brought to their front door, they all of a sudden go berserk, and they're so upset that this is happening. And it just shows you, you know, their virtue signaling is a fraud, okay? They are supporting policies that are just frankly indefensible. It is not defensible for a superpower to not have any control over the territory of its country, over the borders of its country. And he inherited a situation where you didn't have this happening. And yes, we needed to build the wall. There was more that we needed to do. He reversed the Trump policies, knowing what would end up happening. And you know, one of the reasons why we want to transport, because we obviously, it's expensive if people are coming here. It taxes social services and all these other things.
He is strong on border security, and someone else who is very strong on border security is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and it's always great to be joined by Congressman Debbie Lesko from the great state of Arizona. Congressman Lesko, thank you so much for joining me on the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tim. I hope you and the listeners are doing well, too.
Well, thank you. The passive-aggressive part of me, it gets a kick out of what Ron DeSantis and what Governor Greg Abbott are doing in Florida and Texas, respectively. But I think they know, and of course you know, at ground level, you know, that is just a minuscule amount of what is coming over the border in what is a full-blown crisis. How are things looking at ground level in Arizona?
Well, it's a disaster. I mean, Biden has created an open border policy, Biden and all of the Democrats. He appointed Kamala Harris as his border czar. Well, she's been down there once for a photo op. President Biden has never been down to the southern border, and that shows his priorities, right? And when you have illegal immigrants themselves telling on news media station interviews that there's an open border and that Biden is welcoming them and that's the reason that they came, you know there's a problem. I took a group of Congress members down to the border recently, and we saw things firsthand, and it's totally open border. The Customs and Border Patrol officers, each one of them, every one of them, told me that this is the worst crisis that they have ever seen in their career, and many of them had worked there over 20 years.
And that is saying something, because the Border Patrol, they work hard. We know that they're overtaxed with their duties. The fact that they probably have so much paperwork as well means that they're off the job and underappreciated there in the state of Arizona. In fact, Congressman Lesko, I want to play this clip. You referenced the illegal immigrant that was out in front of Vice President Kamala Harris's home, and what she had to say on Fox, or what he had to say on Fox News after pulling up and getting dropped off in front of the vice president's home. Cut three.
Vice President Harris said that the border is closed. Is the border closed? Do you believe that the border is closed, or is it open?
It's open, not closed. The border is open.
The border is open. Do you believe that all the migrants believe that the border is open?
Yeah, everybody believes that the border is open. It's open because we enter. We come in free. No problem.
And but it's open for you to come illegally, right?
Illegally, yes, illegally. That's true.
And you came illegally?
Yeah, we came illegally, not legal.
And Congressman Lesko, I don't think she's the only one that has that attitude. I think the entire Biden administration feels like we're the only country in the world that shouldn't have borders.
Well, yeah, I mean, I work with the Democrats each and every day in the U.S. Capitol. And I can tell you that the vast majority of them introduce legislation, vote against legislation, and both ways, and they want open borders. Now, I can only guess why they want open borders, but all their policies show that. It's not what they say, it's what they do. So President Biden, on day one that he got into office, he stopped construction of the border fence. So I brought these Congress members down to the southern border in Arizona, and they witnessed firsthand the openings in the border fence. They saw them from the ground, and then they went up on a Black Hawk helicopter and saw them from the air. And while we were on the Black Hawk helicopter, we saw five illegal immigrants crossing the Arizona border from Mexico, waving their hands, waving us down. They wanted to turn themselves into Border Patrol to claim asylum. And this is what's happening. Thousands of people each and every day. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey also bussed illegal immigrants up to Washington, D.C. And so I'm glad that the Texas, Florida, Arizona governors are bussing these people up there. And when there's only like 100 or a couple thousand and they're freaking out up in the north, and when the D.C. mayor calls on the federal government saying, oh, my gosh, this is an emergency, when a few hundred people show up, give me a break. We've been dealing with this each and every day. There's thousands that cross our border each day in Arizona. And Arizona citizens have had to, you know, help fund them. Taxpayers from all over the country are funding these illegals being shipped by the Biden administration across the country. President Biden just recently made it official that he's against the Remain in Mexico policy. And I talked to the Border Patrol officers when we were down there, and I said, if there was one thing that you could do, that Biden could do, What would it be? And it's reinstall the Remain in Mexico policy, because the Trump was brilliant when he did that, because that means when the illegal immigrants come, that, yeah, they can claim asylum, but while their asylum claim is being processed in the courts, they have to wait in either Mexico or another safe third world country. Well, automatically, they didn't come because they knew they didn't have the free ticket into the United States, because now they know all they have to do, cross the border, claim asylum, they have a free ticket into the United States. 5 years from now or years from now, they show up to an immigration court hearing. Most of them don't show up, and they're already in the United States. It's such a scam that the Biden administration wants. I know that they want open borders.
And Mexico was totally fine with Remain in Mexico, weren't they, Congressman? Because they knew if that was in effect, that people weren't going to come through their neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, Trump negotiated with them, and Biden could do the same. But it's just clear that Biden and the Democrats want open borders. My guess is that the reason for it, first and foremost, is that 3.2 million illegal immigrants that we know of have been apprehended since Biden has been in office. Then there's another about 1 million at least that got away, that we estimate got away, right? So that's over 4 million people. Well, when you get all of these people coming into the United States, that gives more congressional seats. Each congressional person gets 765,000 people. And then if you have these Democrat states and cities that have sanctuary cities, it's natural that the illegal immigrants would go to these cities that won't prosecute them or do anything to them. And you get more congressional seats in Democrat areas. I think that's the first step. And when they get enough congressional members, the Democrats, then they'll change the Constitution and allow people to vote. Illegals to vote. That's what I think their end game is.
And sadly, us citizens are just simply in their way. Congressman Debbie Lesko, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for fighting the good fight. And thank you for carving out for a few minutes for the audience here on the Todd Starnes Show. We always appreciate what you do.
Thank you so much, Tim.
All right. There is Congressman Debbie Lesko, and we certainly do appreciate her. 844-747-8868. It's a beautiful Thursday in Memphis, and I hope you can say the same where you are. It's starting to feel like fall. Todd Starnes is on the trail, and maybe he's watching the leaves change color. Nah, he's down in Georgia. They haven't changed yet. We'll tell you what Todd's up to coming up next. Tim in for Todd. Welcome back. Ah, I get the Arizona reference. How about that? Because we just had Debbie Lesko on from Arizona. Grace, I think we need to send him upstairs to Petty Cash, get a little bit something out, get something nice for himself today.
Yeah, that reference even went over my head, Tim. So, hey, got to give producer Kyle credit.
Yeah, he did a great job there. We love Kyle. 844-747-8868. And Todd is, even when he's not in the building, he's triggering people. It's pretty incredible. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But callers first here on the Todd Starnes Show, as always. And Early, listening on our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis. Hey, Early, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me.
Absolutely.
Look, I think my thought is the sleeping giant in the political season that's coming up is black men. And I believe black Christian men. A lot of black men do not believe in the gay movement. We just don't. The struggle that we've had in the past and still have, it get muddied, get cloudy by they think that every black person supposed to accept this gay agenda. And not being disrespectful to them, but it's wrong. And if a lot of black men, believe it or not, believe in Jesus, we believe we want to make it in eternity, to eternity. But it's hard enough the thing that we faced in the past. But for the Democratic Party to use that leverage every time something situation comes up concerning our advancement, they align us up with this gay movement.
Hey, Early, how do African American men overcome the Democrat rhetoric and assuming that they can take the African American male for granted when it comes to the voting booth? How do you swing that pendulum back the other way?
Well, I believe the Word of God speaks clearly about what's right and wrong, and if a man convicted in his heart that two men don't belong together, two women, and because it's embarrassing. I believe that pendulum, along, you know, sincereness with Christ, can swing it. But, for example, I know maybe I might be jumping over the board, but everybody know that it's wrong. It's wrong for the Secretary of Transportation to be allowed to do what he's done, you know, adopt children, two men. That's wrong any kind of way. That's common sense wrong.
Well, Early, thank you for your call on the Todd Starn Show this afternoon. And I think maybe to a greater point, there's actually two questions. One, why does the Democrat Party get to assume that African-American males are an easy voting block for them? But then my question is to the Republican Party and to our local Republican Party here in Memphis, Tennessee. What are you afraid to approach the African-American community and ask for the vote? You heard Early make some points about conservatism and Christian values, and we appreciate his call this afternoon on the Todd Starn Show. 844-747-8868. Todd's at it again. He's triggering the left, and he's not even in the building, Grace. What in the world is our fearless leader up to these days?
Well, yeah.
He's down in Georgia.
He's also our world traveler. My goodness. Yeah. So he's been campaigning all week for lawmakers in Georgia. Like, he was at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's victory dinner. Today he spoke at the Pray Vote Stand event hosted by the Family Research Council and our friend Tony Perkins over in Atlanta, Georgia. Next week he'll be in Lancaster, California, with Paul Chappell, our good friend, for the Spiritual Leadership Conference. But Tim, yeah, he's spoken multiple times this week, and I think he's been triggering people, which is no surprise to us.
Yeah,
Todd's speaking the truth. So,
in fact, you know, why don't we take a moment here and pause and trigger the left before we get to the end of the hour? I think it's only a public service. I think we put that in the public file as part of our duty to trigger the left. And here's a bit of the comments that Todd made when he talks about faith and freedom. Listen to what Todd had to say in Cut 4.
You know, I believe that faith and freedom go hand in hand. John Adams, our second president, put it like this: our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governments of any other. So what does that mean? Well, it means when you take God out of our founding documents, when you take God out of our way of life, when you marginalize our churches, you get chaos in the culture.
Is he wrong? As I look back through history, even if you do not believe in God, if you do not serve Jesus, let's look back at history and what other type of religion, what other type of faith in the history of the world comes such a long-term amount of order and moral values. Whether or not you're a Christian or not, you can't deny that Christian values helped establish this country and establish a moral compass, and that throughout history, this country has been more times than not on the right side of history. It's when we've turned our back from our faith that we have seen a decline, and it has happened very quickly. But that's triggered the left. They're all fired up now, and apparently Todd is the devil, and the devil went down to Georgia, and he spoke some truth on faith and freedom. And grateful that he's taken some time to go help down in Georgia, because I tell you, Georgia is going to be a critical piece when it comes to the midterm elections. Speaking of faith and speaking of freedom, I think, despite the moral decline, the future of America is very bright. We're going to talk to Young America's Foundation next. Despite their trials and tribulations, they're thick-skinned, they stand firm. 844-747-8868. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the Todd Starnes Show. Tim Van Horn in for Todd today. He'll be back tomorrow. He's out somewhere in Georgia being extremely deplorable today. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. Glad you could join us along for the ride. Beautiful day. We're at the flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee at KWAM. And let's go right to the phone lines. We're in the Liberty University studios. We're going to talk on the Patriot Mobile Newsline. One of our friends of the show, a spokeswoman for Young America's Foundation. And we welcome back to the program, Kara Zupkus. Kara, thanks for joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. And of course, coming up on Saturday is Constitution Day. So I thought, well, what better way to celebrate than to talk with an organization that so well represents our future than the Young America's Foundation. We take that. And then on top of that, it seems like now it has become an annual tradition. Young America's Foundation goes out and helps America remember 9/11. And then the left comes and tries to ruin it for everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, this is sadly a recurring pattern that we're beginning to see. We always host the 9/11 Never Forget Project at campuses all across the country. And just this past week at Michigan State University, of all places, their memorial was vandalized by leftists on 9/11. They spray painted the memorial saying that we should never forget 461,000 Iraqi civilians instead of remembering the 2,977 American lives taken on that day. Really disgusting stuff that we can't even seem to come together on what should just be a day of mourning and remembrance. And it shouldn't even really be about politics. You know, it should just be about remembering who attacked us that day, why they attacked us, and honoring their lives. And it's sad that the left can't even let us do that one memorial without having some kind of antics up their sleeve.
And a lot of the students on college campus, well, unless they're, I guess, in graduate school, most college students were not alive on 9/11 or about to graduate. Something like this, it seems like we're in a culture now where there's never been a time where this generation that's coming up hasn't had a real opportunity to mourn or to grieve without something being made political.
Exactly. And this is obviously a failure of our education system. I mean, I think a lot of teachers and professors just assume that kids know what happened on 9/11. They kind of gloss over it in class. Maybe they don't dedicate a whole lesson plan educating them on exactly who attacked us and why they attacked us. We actually did a Man on the Street video just last week where no college student could give us a coherent answer on who actually attacked us on that day. And they all admitted that their education system has failed them. And they were kind of had this moment of self-realization that, wow, you know, we haven't been taught this, and it's such an important day in American history. The fact that they're just glossing over it in class is really awful.
And so this happened at Michigan State University's campus. Did the university notify you about this? If not, then how did you learn that this defacing had taken place?
Unfortunately, the university did not let us know. Our students just stumbled upon it. Luckily, they were kind of guarding the memorial in the middle of the night. They realized that the graffiti had taken place. And actually, just a few hours after they discovered the graffiti, they realized that all of their flags had gone missing. So they obviously assumed, oh, maybe a leftist also stole all the American flags. They did a little bit of digging, and it turns out that the university actually disposed of all 3,000 flags
threw them in trash bags and threw them into a dumpster because they thought that the memorial was, quote, abandoned because of seeing the graffiti. So the university has yet to release any kind of public statement apologizing for the mishap. They've basically just been kind of hoping the story will blow over.
Okay, so let me get this straight. A memorial for 9/11 was defaced on or about 9/11, and the smarty smart people at the university thought that, okay, this was some sort of abandoned old memorial for 9/11 on 9/11 weekend. That's the excuse they're giving you?
Yep, absolutely. It was about a day after 9/11 that they realized that all the flags were gone, and that is when apparently the landscaping service thought it was abandoned. Luckily, the school has agreed to reimburse the Young Americans for Freedom chapter the cost of the flags, which is about $500. So they will be able to repurchase these flags and be able to have the memorial again next year. But really hoping that the university learns their lesson here. And hopefully in years to come, we see them starting to monitor and, you know, surveil this area more often, because it seems like every single year this is going to continue being a problem.
Hey, Kara, I know Michigan State University is an example, but this is not an isolated incident when it comes to the left deciding to deface either a part of our culture or a part of our history.
Absolutely. We see this all across the nation. You probably remember last year there was a really viral video that we released of a student, you know, packing all of these American flags into trash bags because he was upset with the war on terror and he wanted to throw away all 3,000 American flags into a dumpster. And I mean, this obviously isn't even limited to 9/11. We see liberal students defacing pro-life memorials, anti-communism displays. So the conservatives on campus definitely do have the cards stacked up against them.
And wasn't that guy like on the student senate committee or something?
Yeah, he was in charge of doling out student funds for student organizations, which is obviously very concerning that someone so intolerant of conservatives would be in charge of giving them money.
Kara, let's talk about America's future, and let's talk a bit about the future of conservatism with Young America's Foundation. Are you finding, I know that we're in the midst of culture rot and we're seeing this, these defacings and all of this going on. Is the future bright? Is there a generation of conservatives that are naturally coming up with tougher skin because they've known nothing but persecution for their ideals?
Absolutely. I would say 100% that's accurate. And I think especially even since the pandemic took place, we've seen a lot of students maybe who were before apathetic about politics, didn't really have, you know, skin in the game after their schools were shut down, after they were placed on these insane COVID lockdowns. Students are kind of starting to realize that, hey, big government is the enemy here. And we've been seeing increasing numbers of students coming to our programs, signing up to start chapters, coming to conferences, you know, bringing Ben Shapiro to their campus. So there definitely is hope for the next generation. We're seeing increasing numbers, and we're going to keep doing what we can to educate the next generation and show them it's cool to be conservative. You know, it's not a bad thing.
And you have a great leader as well in former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Can you talk about his vision, the long game?
Yes, absolutely. He has an amazing vision for the long game, where over the next 5 years during his presidency as president of YAF, we're going to reach more students than ever. We're going to be on all college campuses across the nation. We're going to have explosive digital growth, really just making sure that every single corner of America is inundated with conservative ideas, speakers, activism projects. And that really is the hope for the next generation. The left has been at it for decades, and now it's kind of up to us to make up that ground.
And I know that there's parents all across the country listening on the Todd Starnes Show to you. What would you say to those parents? What can they do, or what can these college students do to make that first step and join Young America's Foundation?
Yeah, so the first step is heading to yaf.org. That's yaf.org. You can send your student to a conference if you kind of want to start off slow. You can get them involved in starting a YAF chapter at their high school or their college. They can bring a speaker like Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, those big conservative names. And really, it's just about kind of building that community, showing them it's okay to stand up for your own free speech rights. It's okay to admit you're a conservative and just be bold, you know, help us expose this indoctrination that's happening on our campuses.
Over the weekend of 9/11, nearly 3,000 flags taken away, 2,977, a memorial defaced on the campus of Michigan State University, but Young America's Foundation is not standing for it. They are pushing back. Kara Zupkus, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for all that you're doing with Young America's Foundation. Please give our best to the governor as well and for his leadership for the future of conservatism in America.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
All right. There is Kara Zupkus on the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868. It's Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes, 844-747-8868. Grace, do you have a certain standard of cleanliness that you expect if you're paying $141 to go to be entertained?
Yes. It better, you know, not have trash on the floor, that sort of thing.
This is a story that I didn't think that I would ever read, and I have it right here in front of me from the New York Post, and the headline is "Torture: Disney World Guests Gripe of Broken Down Rides, Filth as Prices Soar." Have you ever been to Disney World before? You ever been to the Mouse House?
You know, I went about a decade ago when it was very nice when I went. We had a wonderful time. But I've heard since COVID, I've been hearing these stories that it's gone downhill a bit.
We went a couple of years ago when you can have the masks off to Disney World. We had a good time, but it is pricey. I'm looking at the price chart. If you were to go today to Magic Kingdom, it would cost you $126 per person. You'd get a slight discount for kids.
But that's just park admission, right?
That's park admission. If you were to go September 30th, it would be it floats. The prices rise and fall.
Yes.
$141 for September 30th. That is for park admission. That is not for parking. That's not for hotel. That's not for food. That's not even for the I don't even know. Are they calling it Genie now instead of Fast Pass?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
I mean, you have to almost take out a mortgage to go spend a few days at Disney World. And that's, by the way, turkey leg is still the best value there. You get a lot of food
really? For
not as much money. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we did the meal package.
Which may or may not, depending on what you bought, might have been a good deal.
I thought it was. My mom thought it was a good deal. Well, we had a good time.
Well, the New York Post, of course, you expect when you hear Disney service, a level of cleanliness. If there's something on the ground, you can expect within seconds, a cast member, not an employee, a cast member will come up and clean up an area. It's spotless. It's well kept. And
it doesn't smell.
Now we're getting stories of, not so much. And we're getting anecdotes from all over the country and from allears.net, which is actually a pretty big Twitter account, and they have a big Disney blog.
Yes,
which is very,
I've heard of
it. It is a go-to. And hey, Ariel, are you okay? We may not be after seeing this ride malfunction. The Magic, this is in response to an ad that Walt Disney World, the Magic is calling you to the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary celebration with resident ticket savings and blah, 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 blah. Well, someone responds then, sad to see that the water fountain on Miss Tilly is still not working at Typhoon Lagoon. That's at one of the water parks. Will it ever be fixed? So many maintenance issues around the property. Stuff just being left broken. And you when you go to Disney World and you pay, you do. There's certain things that you expect. You do expect lines at like Seven Dwarfs, you know, Mine Train. Which by my daughter, that
Space
was her.
Space Mountain.
What are the other mountains?
Oh,
Big
it's
Thunder
a small
Mountain
world.
Railroad.
No one's in line for that one.
It's a small world. Well, that's a good one when it's hot outside. Oh. You go through the ride and they punish you by singing.
You have a headache
It's a small
after.
World ad nauseum, but in exchange, you're in an air conditioned building for 12 minutes.
That's fair.
Yeah. So they have that. But then there's a complaint here. Paid for the lightning lane for Guardians of the Galaxy. I believe that's at Epcot.
Okay. See, there's a lot of new stuff. Like I said, it's been a decade.
Stuck inside waiting for 40 minutes because the ride is broken. But back in the day when I had gone, and I know you had gone, they had Fast Pass.
Yes, that's what we used.
You set up a time. And you get X number of slots that you can pick for riding at a certain window. You show up and you go to the front of the line.
Yep.
And then boom, you're on and off you go. Well, now they're making you pay for those things, and you're not necessarily getting your value for money.
No, It's a bit of a bummer. But, you know, Disney has had quite the tumultuous past couple of years. Because for one thing, they've just gone completely full-blown woke. And a lot of people have said, nope, not going there anymore, not spending my money with them. And then you've got the whole deal with just, there's a worker shortage across the nation. I think we've all seen that in action. And then again, Disney going downhill in general, I think there's definitely been a worker shortage for them. So they don't have as many cast members to pick up all the trash and to do everything. They just don't.
They can't fulfill the promises that the Disney service standard has set for the last 50 years.
And it doesn't justify, therefore, having to pay that much and go. That's why I'm going to Universal in the fall.
It's a lot cheaper. Just running the math, just 3 days for an individual, and you only get a slight price break the longer you stay there. I mean, it's like maybe you get $5 off.
So, we did like a package for Universal, and I mean, it saves some money, but it going to Universal versus Disney, it's a significant price increase. That was one of the reasons I chose not to go.
Disney World, three people for Disney World for 3 days would be close to $1,100.
Woo, yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I can't ride the Slinky Dog roller coaster that many times or go to Star Wars Land enough to justify that. But it shows you it has reached now to every nook and cranny and corner of our country, including the entertainment industry, where the gold standard, that gold now has tarnish.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. And I find it sad anyway.
And and they went through a time where, of course, you only had limited occupancy, which meant the hotels were empty. They had to lay off staff, and people aren't coming back. Aren't coming back to work
because they went again. And they again the whole woke issue. People don't want to go back. And for a while there, even when they lifted the mask mandate for certain things, but you had to wear them on rides, and then you couldn't do the meet and greet with the characters, and all the little kids were unhappy. So, like, it just, people aren't going back in general after that whole debacle. They're just like, not doing it, not worth it. Even though that's been lifted.
And then you saw Disney, of course, firing some of the members of the Star Wars Mandalorian cast because of their political views.
Yeah, Gina Carano got fired.
That's right. Yep. She played Cara Dune on The Mandalorian. And you have seen, you can pay $141 to go to Disney World, or you can just watch Jimmy Kimmel for free every night, and he'll insult your values for absolutely no charge whatsoever.
Exactly.
So there are values to be found in Disney. He'll let you know you're the scum of the earth because of your conservative beliefs. You don't even have to pay a penny for that, other than a few moments of your time.
But your sanity.
It is absolutely sad to see what has become of Disney. Now, my understanding is you're going to be heading maybe toward Orlando in the near future. Are you hitting Disney?
Oh yeah, going to Universal. That's what I'm saying. The little bit cheaper option. And one of the reasons I didn't want to go to Disney is because of all the shenanigans that have been happening. I'm just like, nope, not doing it. Going to go to Universal. I'm not saying they're some conservative haven, but they're not Disney, who's actively insulting us.
I might give that a try next time I'm in Orlando, but I didn't watch any of the Harry Potter movies or read the books, and I know that's quite a bit of it. But they have SpongeBob there, right?
I guess. I'm not a big SpongeBob person. Oh, okay. They have the Jurassic Park stuff, though.
Well, that would be cool.
And I love Jurassic Park.
See, I could get into that.
And Harry Potter, I'm going to go back and rewatch the movies. Haven't read the books, but I've heard you don't have to be a Harry Potter nerd. It's just a really cool place to be.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't have Beavis and Butthead rides. I think that's Paramount anyway.
I don't think so. And E.T. phone home.
Oh, wow.
There's an E.T. ride.
Yeah. Disney continuing to let people down culturally, and now it looks like customer service and quality-wise. Hey, we're going to do our best to give you first-class service. Coming up in just a few moments, Liz Peek, the great columnist, joins us. We got more from Todd Starnes. He's in Georgia. He's trying to help along that big red wave down in the Peach State. 844-747-80. For Todd Starnes, 844-747-8868. Hey, MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. And now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. I'll give you that in just a second. Order now, because when they are gone, they are gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. He wants you to love them. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Here's what you do. Call 800-986-3994. Use the promo code STARNES. That's STARNES. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNES. It's just that simple with MyPillow, Mike Lindell, and thanks to them. Thank you for listening. 844-747-8868. We're in the Liberty University studios. We're going to go back to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and joining us by phone is one of our favorite repeat offenders of the program and columnist. She's wonderful. Liz Peek joins us once again. Liz, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
I'm terrific. I'm always better for speaking with you guys.
Well, we appreciate you, and the economic woes continue for Joe Biden. We're streaking toward the midterms, and just out of the box here, and this is kind of a side note to your commentary. Of course, last night, it looks like they've gotten at least a tentative agreement on what would have been a massive rail strike. Is this just the elixir Joe Biden needs heading into midterms?
Well, it's kind of interesting that investors certainly were worried about a rail strike. It was going to cost an enormous amount of money and increase the supply chain problems that arguably are getting somewhat better. And that has contributed to inflation. So it was important that it got resolved. But funny that the market really hasn't responded in a very positive way about it. And I think it's because a lot of people like myself just figured it was not going to happen. I mean, forgive my cynicism, Joe Biden is closer to big labor than probably any other Democrat-aligned group. And he has, after all, put in a former labor boss as Secretary of Labor. It was inconceivable to me, truly inconceivable, that any huge union like the rail workers' unions were going to basically clobber the economy in the you know, weeks leading up to a midterm election with a Democrat like Joe Biden in charge. That just wasn't going to happen. So I think, though, people are going to be looking at this settlement and saying, whoa, 24% pay increase over 5 years, increased time off, and by the way, no increase in the copay for health insurance or for medical costs. All of that is incredibly expensive to the rail companies. I'm sure we'll see. I can't do that analysis of what it's going to mean for their bottom lines. I'm sure we're going to see some of that. But I think the bad news is, and I wrote about this a year ago, Biden's big pro-labor push is an expensive push. And you may think it's great if we get more people joining labor unions, but the truth is it drives up the cost of everything. And what we're seeing in this labor contract, and we have seen in some others, and we'll see more to come, is an embedded wage price spiral, which I think makes the Fed's job that much harder and makes it so much more likely that they have to basically tip us into recession in order to get inflation under control.
Which of course, is they always say, it's the economy, which means higher prices for us. So let's talk about this great column of yours. And you're talking about Biden's struggle in the midterm. So I guess the long answer to my original question is, it's likely not going to be much help for Joe Biden. Where does his help come from? Because he's looking at a lot of strikes against him.
Well, Tim, if you're listening to the liberal media, Biden's on a roll, right? I mean, his approval ratings have ticked up a little bit. That is true. I think an awful lot of this is hype from the media because, in fact, inflation, I mean, really, the other day, having Joe Biden hosting a lawn party to celebrate the Inflation Reduction Act when we got an incredibly bad read on the inflation situation was just sort of emblematic of two two different realities. There's the reality on the ground when you and I go to the grocery store and food prices are up anywhere from 13% to 15%. And then there was the reality in the Rose Garden where he's passed a bill that they pretend is going to improve inflation, and it's not. So the media, I mean, honestly, I do think the White House is just so strenuously dishonest about nearly everything, including the economy. Joe Biden has taken credit for basically the rebound from the pandemic shutdowns. He says he's created all those jobs. What the reality is that there are hundreds of thousands fewer people working today than were working in 2020. So I apologize for giving you so many long answers to your relatively short questions.
Hey, it's radio. But I got all day long, Liz. All day long. Hey, let's talk about the Federal Reserve. Are we going to see another bump? What are you hearing in the wind about that?
Well, I think 75 basis points is baked in the cake, so to speak. There was immediately after the 8.3% read top line inflation for August, odds ticked up that it was going to be a 100 basis point. And there's some people calling for that. I don't think Jay Powell is a dramatic person by that. I think he does it, but I don't think he intends to make waves with his policy. I think people are expecting 75 basis points. That's, I think, what we'll get.
Okay. Yeah. Which, again, not great news for the American consumer. That's for sure. Liz Peek joins us here on the Todd Starnes Show, and I've had a couple of callers today, and they chuckle because any time that there's legislation, it always seems like the title of it is the exact opposite of what it's going to do.
Yeah. I know. I mean,
the American Rescue Plan, for crying out loud, for example.
Yeah, when the economy didn't need rescuing, and in fact, it torched the economy. So I agree with your listener who made that comment. It's a very sort of Soviet tactic, right? I mean, that's what the communist countries are good on. They have a, you know, let's make the people happy bill, which means putting them in prison or something. And that's kind of, you know, it's sort of what we're seeing here from this Biden White House. Everything is disingenuous.
Do you remember, Liz, when we used to laugh about Baghdad Bob, and now that's our reality?
Yeah, I know. You know, this is not a good thing. I mean, if Biden had come out, first of all, I mean, I know you've probably talked about this ad nauseum, but if he had come out and said, well, we expected to be able to celebrate declining inflation, obviously that's what all their in-house gurus were expecting. Obviously, the numbers weren't as good as we expected, and it means we're going to have to work harder. If they also had said, we understand, and by the way, they have kind of admitted that deficits and spending are connected to inflation. What is the whole gist of their Inflation Reduction Act? That they're going to reduce deficits. But then he comes out and completely blows that out of the water with his canceling of student debt. So he can't have it both ways. He can't argue that spending doesn't matter, and then in the next breath say, well, this is the Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to cut the deficit by $300 billion, which, by the way, is truly a drug. I mean, the Committee for the Responsible Federal Budget came out a couple of days ago and said that Biden has increased our net deficits $4.8 trillion since he took office. So just, you know, and those are numbers that are unthinkable even a couple of years ago. And honestly, I think it's a tragedy for our country.
It is. And, you know, he tries to make it not so when he comes out and whispers it twice. Not one penny.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I creeped you out there. I'm sorry, Liz. Folks, go to LizPeek.com. LizPeek.com for this and many other terrific columns. You don't want to miss that. Make sure you subscribe to those. Liz, thank you so much for your time. It's great to have you on, and I hope you have a terrific rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me on.
All right. There's our pal Liz Peek here on the Todd Starnes Show. And yeah, she's skeptical. That's another skeptic, Grace, when it comes to the averting of a railroad strike. And to go back and just give you a little bit of the brief history, they kicked the can down the road a few months ago in trying to settle the strike. And now with Joe Biden in Detroit, as he's test driving a $61,000 electric automobile, he's not even in D.C., and he's trying to do a little bit of a victory lap on something that is right now is a tentative handshake regarding the rail strike.
Yeah, I saw that. Was Biden driving like a Cadillac? I think he was, an electric Cadillac. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm sure the average American can afford that $60,000 vehicle. But yes, just adding that, Tim.
There is a whole other 3-hour show on how the electric vehicle is a way to pick winners and losers. Because if you get rid of the gas vehicles, if you can't afford electric vehicles, what do you have to take?
A loan.
You walk, you take a bike, you take a bus, you take public transportation. and guess who builds the public transportation routes?
The government.
They get to pick the winners and losers. We could do another whole 3 hours on this, but we won't do that to you today. And of course, Todd will be back tomorrow. Where has he been? Oh, he's been a busy boy, and he's been a naughty boy as well. Almost in my Sebastian Gorka impersonation, he's been a naughty boy. We'll tell you what he's been up to. That gun clinging Bible toting deplorable. Where's he been? We'll take your calls to 844-747-8868. Tim in for Todd. Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. 844-747-8868. Hello, hello to all of our wonderful affiliates across the fruited plain. I hope you are doing well. ToddStarnes.com. Go to ToddStarnes.com for all of the latest, greatest commentary from Todd. You can also listen to previous episodes and get his unique take on many of today's top stories and cultural issues. You can also pick up a copy of one of his great books there at ToddStarnes.com. Before we go any further, I think we've been sandbagging and saving the best for last because we had been talking about energy and electric vehicles, Grace. And, you know, of course, KWAM, the flagship station, has a long musical heritage here, including the blues. And, of course, Elvis Presley performed live on this very, very flagship radio station.
Yes.
So I think it's only fitting that if there is an up-and-coming hit that we play that as well. And Jim Gossett, in response to the electric vehicles and fossil fuels, has provided us this Green New Deal song. And Kyle, if you could cue this up for the audience, maybe we can give something, a little bit of musical entertainment for our listeners.
Green New Deal is a total scam. Taxpayers, it is gonna slam. It's just a giant money grab. Bankrupt the country while we all pay the tab.
Take it away, Bernie.
Electric cars you can't afford to drive. Economy will fight to stay alive. Destruction will be far and wide. We'll be suffering because Joe Manchin lied. Windmills can't drill. EVs, huge fees. How did it pass? Goodbye, cars with gas. Green New Deal is a joke.
And I believe I'm Casey Kasem. And coming in at number two, it's Jim Gossett with Green New Deal. With our long distance dedication, goes out to Todd in the great state of Georgia. Thank you, Jim, for that contribution to our program. That was funny.
I didn't know Bernie Sanders had such a singing voice.
No, he was on key as well. That was pretty good. Speaking of Todd Starnes, I know he is out and he has been very busy this week. And a big thanks to him because he does set the standard for getting out and putting his money where his mouth is and visiting these states and helping campaign. And he's been doing that this week in Georgia, Grace. Some very critical races and some big events. He has been a featured speaker. And Faith and Freedom, speaking on that, so much so that he's triggered the left a little bit.
Yeah, he was at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's victory dinner this week, and there were some other big names there like Herschel Walker. We've been keeping up with that race. Of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Representative Barry Loudermilk, and others. But yeah, I mean, Todd always triggers people with his speeches. I mean, come on.
He does. He triggered down. Todd also, having one of those addresses that he did, speaking on faith and freedom, he also sat down with Tony Perkins and had some really poignant comments. And here's what Todd had to say with Tony Perkins.
Todd, tell me, how does that bring America together?
Well, in fairness to the president, he probably doesn't remember what he had for breakfast this morning, much less what he said on Inauguration Day. But it is not surprising. This is a man who called evangelical Christians on the campaign trail in a speech before the Human Rights Campaign about what the dregs of society. I think that was the exact phrase he used.
Building on Hillary's deplorables.
Deplorables, Barack Obama's bitter clingers, and of course now they're calling us fascists. What we've come to discover when the Democrats are out there name-calling, typically it's a form of projection.
Yes.
Because they, in fact, are guilty of the charges they're levying against conservatives and especially evangelical Christians.
Yeah, he doesn't pull punches, and I never expect him to. He's the same as he was yesterday and today and likely tomorrow. Consistent message from Todd going after the left and calling out the hooey whenever he sees it. And that was with Tony Perkins, but Todd will be back tomorrow, and I know many of you will be very excited to have him back in this very chair here in Memphis, Tennessee. But I don't think he's done yet. He'll be going out again between now and the midterms because he fights for what he believes in. So don't be surprised if he shows up at a big rally near you anytime soon. Want to touch on a few of these comments before we head out the door today. And big thanks to all of the people that have been chiming in. Jory says, interestingly, my most, sadly, liberal friends are white who consider themselves Bible-believing Christians. She was talking about the wokeness that has come to the church and the fear of a strong Christian conservative message. Thank you, Jory. I know that Jory is a very loyal listener of the Todd Starnes Show, and we appreciate that. Carolyn says, I don't recognize my country when I hear things like what Kara Zupkus was talking about, and she appreciated the fact that the Young America's Foundation stands for freedom, the 9/11 remembrance, and that was defaced up at Michigan State University, but YAF was having none of it, and they're getting reimbursed for not just the damage, but for the flags that were picked up, all 2,977, and tossed into a trash heap. The future is bright when you have strong young leadership. Well, folks, thank you so much for letting me be a part of your day. It has been an absolute privilege. Don't forget, you can go anytime 24/7 to toddstarnes.com. That's toddstarnes.com, where you can find out the latest, greatest Todd Starnes column. Sign up for that newsletter as well. Todd's back tomorrow. For all the gang here, I'm Tim Van Horn saying goodbye and God bless. Thanks for letting me along for the ride.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.